Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on StraightTalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and you can't get a hold of anyone. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers,
785-833.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Bobby
Bones.
Transmitting across America.
Turn it up.
Now. This is the Bobby Bones Show. Let's go.
All right, we're here. We're pumped. It's going to be a great show. Lady A is going to be in later. They're going to play my 3 favorite songs, yet they don't even know what they are. I was like, will you do a thing where I just request songs? And I'm like, yeah, we guess. So it's going to be awesome. I love those guys. Lady A in a little bit later. Morning, studio.
Morning.
Everybody's here. Amy, what happened to you?
So I was doing self-checkout at the grocery store, and probably about 4 items weren't scanning. Everything else was. But a couple of these items were about $6 each. And so I was like, okay, why is this weird? So I just set them aside. And then when I was done scanning everything else, I had the attendant come over. She came over. She couldn't get them to scan.
Was it fruit? I always have trouble with fruit.
No.
That's tough.
Some of them were like these chocolate bars that I like that are kind of faint. They're like really nice chocolate bars. I'm like, yeah, I know.
It's like Real Housewives of Nashville?
It
or
is.
What?
They're Who chocolate. I keep them in my fridge. I eat like one little square because I need them to last longer because they are. They're nice and I wanted them and they wouldn't scan. And she couldn't get them to scan either. So then she threw them in my bag. She looked at me and she goes, Merry Christmas.
Wow.
Christmas in June.
Awesome.
And so,
That's so funny because I don't know that she can really do that.
Yeah. I thought, I felt a little weird walking out because what is her authority to give me these things for free?
Was she a manager?
Don't know. Didn't see manager on her tag. But I'm not gonna lie, I was a little excited about getting
my
Who chocolate for free. And it's part of me just felt a little weird. Like, surely I could have just gone through and scanned somewhere else. It's like, lucky.
She must have been stressed and her day was long. And she's like, you know what, screw it, just go. Just
right.
Go, get out of here. And she blocks for you. She covers you on the way out.
I'll take you out the back.
Roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have felt weird. I think I probably, let me think of what I would have done. Hold
okay.
On. I'm there. I would have been like this. No, I'm not going to. I can't.
Oh,
I'm not going to do that.
Shoot.
Just because I wouldn't have wanted to something happen, accidentally get in trouble or somebody like, I saw Bobby Bones stealing stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm better than just taking it. If she said take it, I just wouldn't want to. Get. But no problem. You got it, right?
I'm at home with my chocolate.
Amy.
and I feel a little bit like, should I go back maybe and pay
no,
for the chocolate?
You're okay.
It's
no.
Fine. Yeah, she said Merry Christmas.
And isn't that the universal rule?
Said,
if someone
yes.
says Merry Christmas, it's yours.
If someone pulled me over or said something to me, I could say, no, she said.
She said Merry Christmas.
She said,
I don't think that holds up in court. No, Your Honor, I swear to God, she said Merry Christmas. And that's why I have it.
Yeah.
Let's go over and open up the mailbag.
You send an email and we read it on the air. It's something we call Bobby's Mailbag.
Yeah, I think this one's for you, Amy. Hello, Bobby Bones. I have a 14-year-old daughter who is begging me to get her nose pierced this summer. I'm on the fence. I'm not sure what I should do. Again, she's 14, but she's a mature 14. Should I tell her to wait till she's old enough to get it done herself, or do I give in and take her? Thank you. Signed, Mom of a Teen Girl. Please help. I guess, though, my question before you give an answer here is, how old do you have to be by yourself? Can you do it at 16?
Oh, I think 18.
18
to get a piercing without a parent. Maybe it's 16. I just signed consent forms for my daughter to get her second holes, like in her ear, or maybe her third. Actually, now she's got three on each side.
You have to sign consent forms?
Yeah.
Can't they just fake that?
And be like, all right, I'll get this. There. You have to be there.
Oh,
present.
God. Like, I had to forge the crap out of that as a kid.
No, it's not like you take it home and then, oh, my parents signed it.
Permission slip.
So I don't know about the nose ring, and it might be different state to state.
Well, pierced, it doesn't have to be a ring. It could be a stud, a small stud.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, any kind of piercing. But I have learned with age and parenting that we got to pick our battles. And for me now, the piercing stuff isn't that big of a deal. And you could come up with a compromise if you're not comfortable with 14. Could it be like, hey, can we wait till your 15th birthday? I'll meet you there. Or 16th, and maybe not go all the way till they're 18 and out of the house.
16's too far for a compromise.
I'm just spitballing some things.
I like 15,
for
though.
Me, okay. But for me, I follow some other moms that have I really admire, and they've shared on Instagram and through different things, platforms, that they've evolved as well. And some of the stuff that we sweat as parents is just really not that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things. So like, if they want to do this or they want to do that, now you have to weigh the values of your family, whatever it may be. But some stuff is just not that big of a deal if you really think about it.
And the maturation.
Maturity,
of,
yes.
Of the daughter. Mm-hmm. And if she says her daughter is mature for a 14-year-old, then based on what you know, a mature 14-year-old that makes responsible decisions, would you let her?
I would. My husband probably would not. But then I would work to convince him. And I think that I would probably eventually be okay with it as long as my 15-year-old daughter's not listening right now.
Yeah,
yes.
I don't know. Listen, what do I know? I don't have a 14-year-old daughter at all. I feel like having no skin in the game at all, a mature 14-year-old is enough to get a small nose stud.
Yeah.
Maybe you bring up a good point. Maybe the compromise isn't that she gets her septum pierced.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe that's what she wanted, like a bull, or yeah. She wanted a big nose ring. It's like, okay, but we're going to get a small stud.
Teeny tiny little stud. And then really just it can start and open up good communication between you and your child and just – not making big deal. I mean, then you say no to this, and then what? You send them down this spiral of being angry at you.
Jumped
them.
Yeah, wow. I like it. Eddie, you have your oldest son's how old?
14.
And you just let him get a tattoo, so what was that like?
No. See, with me in this situation, I love the whole, like, hey, when you're 18, do whatever you want. To me, that's the best thing.
That's 1950s.
That's I know, 50s. But it's the best thing you can tell them because they're like, all right. Everything's going to be no. What do you want? I want a boat. When you're 18, you can go buy a boat.
Well,
go
do whatever in a you boat
and a nose ring.
Small nose stud for a 14-year-old.
What I'm saying is it's the best excuse to tell them, like, why have that big conversation of like, no, let's wait
you're
one
a
year.
Parent.
Yeah.
No, I know.
It also shuts them down and it shuts it off from them not feeling like, hey, I kind of want to express myself right now and this is something I would like and is it really the end of the world?
Right. And I say express yourself when you're 18. You're going to have a lot of fun.
That's good.
It's almost like people that associate a nose piercing, like, oh, if we do that, it's a gateway into this type of behavior. And it's just not the case.
What if your son came to you and said, hey, Dad, I'd like to get a nose ring?
Nice. Yeah, when you're 18, I can't wait to see it.
Okay,
wait to see it.
All right, there it is. That's the mailbag. Close it up.
We got your email and we read it on the air. Now it's time to close Bobby's mailbag. Yeah.
Here's a voicemail from Jerry in Kentucky.
Vacation song, is that Abby song that they were working on? Because I thought they were coming up with writing a song for Abby to sing. Also, Lunchbox is a turd. That's why he got kicked off the soccer team, because he's not good. Lunchbox needs chill.
I didn't know I was going there, but I'll start with the first one. No, see, I wrote a song for Abby to sing, and then I got sidetracked in many ways with a lot of other stuff, and then I got sick. So that's not Abby's solo debut. A lot of times with interest in artists, they put them on tracks of other artists.
Yeah.
And so Abby sang on this song, Vacation Part 2, with Eric Dodd, Raymundo, and Abby Lee Anderson. Here's a clip.
Vacation Part 2, we're gone. And just rest around like this blue sky we're under. Cause you're way down late all day just chasing thunder.
It's a good song.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like it. Hey, Lunchbox, he says you need to chill. Any response?
No. He needs to get a good attitude. I don't know. Call me a turd, whatever. Oh, you got me. Turd. Wow, good comeback.
All right. Ronnie in Virginia left this voicemail.
I have a morning corny for Amy. Who did the cat injure? Me. Ow. What's up, guys?
That's pretty good.
That's so good.
That's pretty good. Leave us a voicemail, 877-77-BOBBY. 877-77-BOBBY.
The Bobby Bone Show.
Here's Amy's pile of stories.
All right, so we all know Carrie Underwood's song, Before He Cheats. It was a jam years ago, but it's making a comeback thanks to the Netflix teen vampire drama that just came out called First Kill. And some people that are watching it, because they're teenagers, they don't know what it is, so they're Shazamming it. And now it's in one of the top 10 songs being Shazammed right now.
It's funny when songs make comebacks because of TikTok, too. Like, na-da-da-da, take a look at my girlfriend. She's the only one I want. Na-da-da-da. That song made a huge comeback, and it's 15 years old because people were like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, good for Carrie. She's struggling. She needs the money.
Oh, yeah. I pulled some of the other most Shazammed country songs right now. In at number 3, Take My Name, Parmalee.
So take my hand, let me make you mine.
At 2, A.A., Walker Hayes.
Trying to get to church, so I don't.
And number 1 most Shazam song, Morgan Wallen, Wasted on You.
I've wasted on you.
So they're basically the big songs right now. All the new songs. I don't Shazam a whole lot. But every once in a while, I go like, what is that song? And then I'll hold the phone up to it, and I just won't be close enough. And I'll go, we have no idea. And so there I am, left clueless. All right, what else?
So how long when you're on hold with customer service till you start to get frustrated, Bobby?
I guess, am I talking to them or just waiting?
You could be talking, waiting, dealing with stuff, transferring.
I don't really care. I don't have a number. I just like to be told how long that number is going to be. If they go, hey, you have 17 minutes. Okay, I know what I'm getting myself into. I'll wait 17 minutes. But if they go, please hold the next person, and they don't tell me four.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But if it's half an hour, it's like, wait half an hour, I'll put it on speakerphone and just chill and not be upset.
Well, the average person is 9 minutes. So you're in the under, and it looks like some people, are obviously longer than that. But that's where it starts to affect our mood around that point.
I like it when they say, hey, you can just hang out and we'll call you back.
Genius.
I like that, but I don't trust it.
You don't?
Yeah,
it works for me every time.
I'm just going to wait. Yeah.
It makes me think about, I saw something about millennials and how they don't want phone calls anymore at work, and Gen Zers.
I don't want phone calls ever.
But at work, they're like done with it. Just send me an email.
Yeah, I just think it. I'll think it too. Yeah.
Okay, so there's a mom of 4. Her husband is in dental school, so they're working to put him through there. And she's like, hey, I'm really good at teaching online classes. I've done it to teach foreign languages around the world over video. I'm also really good at video games. So she now teaches hour-long courses to teenagers trying to learn how to play video games. And it's $15 an hour. And she's making $4,000 a month through her classes.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I would imagine it doesn't matter what you love. If you have to do it all the time and teach it, it's like a day at work still. I mean, still, even though she loves it, she's like, oh, more, I got to go teach some video games.
Yeah,
but it's something she just fell into. She didn't realize that this could be lucrative for her. She took her other skill set of teaching other types of classes online, and then her love for video games and her knowledge of that, combined them, boom, formed a business, and now they're making money.
Some of these video game tutors make a lot of money, like if they teach specifically Madden, which I play, or Call of Duty. Like if you're elite, you make a lot of money. Or I guess she just teaches general video games. Like how do you do that?
Yeah, she's teaching kids.
Mario Kart. All right, guys, today's Mario Kart.
Yeah, Zelda, Mario, actually Kirby and Mario Kart are on her list. I'm Amy, that's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
Bobby Bone Show.
The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number 2's 30 Second Skinny.
Sam Hunt released a new song. It's called Water Under the Bridge.
Beer and girls and popping wheelies. Love was fun and life was easy. Now it's just water under the bridge.
Chris Stapleton had to postpone his shows in Utah and Colorado after testing positive for COVID. The shows are rescheduled for the following weekend, July 1st through July 3rd. Tim McGraw and Faith Hill talked with Entertainment Tonight about shooting their music video for their song, It's Your Love. This year is the song's 25th anniversary.
She had a milkshake when we were shooting the video. And so she, if you look really closely in a few shots, you'll see a milkshake stain.
No, they took that out, babe.
I'm Morgan. That's your skinny.
Come on. It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
Amy, tell our audience what Tinder is.
Oh, it's a dating app where you swipe to meet people. Mm-hmm. That's it. You swipe right if you like them, swipe left if you don't, or vice versa.
And then if you like each other and you get together on Tinder, especially, what happens?
Oh, Tinder's definitely what they call a hookup.
Yeah, it feels like it's the dirtier one of them, right? Spell Tinder, the app.
T-I-N-D-E-R?
Right. So that's Tinder, T-I-N-D-E-R.
Okay.
And there's also Tinder, T-E-N-D-E-R.
Okay, Tender.
No, like Tinder, Love, and Care. Oh. Not Tinder. Like the actual word. Okay. So in Florida, these cops have set up something called Tinder. It's a little site called Tinder, T-E-N-D-E-R, where they go, hey, let's take these dogs from the shelter here and put them on Tinder, like Tinder, Love, and Care, and let people swipe and see if they like them or not.
That's awesome.
All these dogs have been adopted because they built their version of Tinder, but spelled differently. The Brevard County Sheriff's Office set up a spoof dating site for cats and dogs called Tinder. America's top police dog, K9 Johnny, is launching his brand new dating site, Tinder. The post reads, and there's a picture, and so far, lots of dogs are getting adopted because they were creative and, you know, putting it out there and doing a parody of Tinder.
Yeah, thinking outside the box. I love it.
Yep, that's it. That's awesome. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good. Go! On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Lady A.
Hey, guys. Good to see you guys.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, let me ask you, Charles Kelly.
Yes.
You're just going to town on a cough drop over there before we went
I
on
was.
The air. Like, it's like a horse eating corn, man. I've never seen anything like this before.
It helps your voice. So, like, it's early morning singing. I got a whole pocket full. You want one?
But is this a thing? Like,
yeah.
You're not sick. You just have a lot of cough drops.
Oh, yeah. No, I do a cough drop. Our assistant that comes out, I mean, she's got a thing full of cough drops, some hot teas, and different things like that kind of help you, you know.
Your voice. Every person we travel with out in that room has a cough drop in their pocket,
for
ready
him.
To go when Charles asks.
Hillary's gotten on the cough drop train too, though.
I do.
She does. Yeah.
That's the weirdest train. I've heard of some trains. That's a weirdest train, the cough drop train. That's a weird one.
Well, think about it. I mean, if you've got like a little crud in your voice or just anything that opens it up, it's effervescent.
Ooh, nice word. So it's just a singing thing, and
you do it constantly. There's no COVID over here, my friend.
Because I would have moved you to that room. Yeah. We'll satellite you, and these two will stay in here.
No, it's just a thing, man. It's honestly too. It's like it's now just become like a
ritual,
so to speak.
It's interesting with you three because individually, I really love all three of you. You know, and I feel like I have a different relationship with all three of you individually. And then you come in and I don't know who I really want to talk to. So I'm just going to kind of go down the line here and talk to each of you sure. a bit differently.
Right.
Charles, one more question for you. And that's not really a question. It's just a statement. We were backstage, and I'm telling the show this. You already know this. We're backstage at the Opry, and Charles was performing, and I was performing, and my wife was with me, and I believe it was Charles' first time to meet my wife. And Charles, you know, he'll just say whatever he thinks whenever he's saying. He goes up to her, and she's not pregnant, and he goes, when you having a baby?
Yeah, I did.
And she was like, the tall guy just asked me a really weird question.
Well, I just you know, figure y'all got married. I said, when's this baby train starting?
Hillary, good to see you.
Hi.
I was thinking about you, and mostly it's kind of your relationship with fame, because it is such – fame is weird, and I've only been able to, like, reach out and kind of touch it occasionally. Like, I've had a weird career where occasionally I'm cool, and then kind of you go back to just being normal. But for you guys, and you especially with growing up with a mom who is in the business and had her fame and her talent, you guys blowing up – taking a break, coming back. And even, again, you and I at a different time were talking at the Opry about you just walking out of Target and somebody being so surprised they saw you just walk out of Target. What is fame to you and your relationship with it now? What have you learned about what it means to actually be famous?
First, off the top of my head would be my relationship with it has changed over the years. I think, and that's natural. I mean, we're 15 years, 16 this summer into being a band. It's a little bit different now with kids, but I think as I've gotten older, I consider it, you know, a privilege and an honor. And I kind of take the platform pretty seriously. And really, cause I just want to be a good example for my girls. But ultimately what I'm learning is the older I get, the more work that I do, the more normal my life is, the happier I am. So I'm going to go to Target. I'm going to go to the grocery store. I'm going to do those things because, they're fun for me. And I love being able to engage with people who either just, hey, that your daughter has on a really cute dress, or, hey, I really love that song that you sing. Like, however conversation starts in public spaces, I welcome it because it's fun.
Do you, and again, I have now an understanding that may change, that especially fame, or it's just not that, it's just not real. It's awesome, it's awful, but in the end of the day, you can't touch it. It's not real. It goes away.
Yeah.
It just isn't something you can depend on.
Right. Mm. Right.
And that was that's got to be tough, especially when you're young, because you guys got famous young, quick, boom, you're massive stars, international stars. Was that ever a struggle for you as a very young artist?
You know, I feel like we were talking about this in the just a couple minutes ago. There's a bit of being in a band together. When we travel together, we get recognized a lot more. And I would say Charles gets the brunt of it just because he's 6'6", and you know, he walks into a room or walks to the airport and you know, he's tall. So there is some anonymity that comes with being in a band when we're separate from each other in places. You're bringing up a really great point. It's a strange thing that is ever changing because, you know, in the prime of like when Need You Now came out and when we did our first arena tour, I mean, it was happening a lot more often, getting recognized out in public and all of that. But that's why we live in Nashville. Everybody's pretty
There's
cool
a certain
here.
Amount of like, you know, it's like you can tell they kind of know, but they don't really know. They're like, you might be in a little big town. You might be. They just kind of like, you know, I know you.
And familiar.
It's very different than like, you know, like when I'm hanging out with like Thomas Rhett or Luke and you're out somewhere and it's just constant. You know, we kind of get this perfect little spot where we get to feel like rock stars and then get off stage and like, you know.
Like together, you get to be really freaking famous. And then apart, sometimes you are, sometimes you're not.
Yeah.
Depending on, that's pretty cool. Yeah. It's like us on the show. When we only go to dinner together, we don't eat. It's all of us at once, or we just don't. Dave, I'm going to come to you in a second because I got an even deeper question.
Oh, no.
It's about the existence of time and earth.
Oh,
so
oh,
we're
wow.
going to come
the
to that in a second. Yes. But I do want to talk about the brand new song that came out here because you know it's special whenever they bring a snow cone truck to the studio at the butt crack of dawn. Yeah. And they were like, there's a snow cone truck outside. And I was like, is there a bomb in it? And they were like, no, Lady A sent it up. So we had snow cones this morning. And the song is called Summer State of Mind. And I'm assuming that there's the tie in there. It just wasn't a random snow cone truck. Yeah.
First softest, official day of summer.
Softest snow cone ice I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
So this song, and if I'm right here, Dave, you and Hillary wrote this one with a couple of other folks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So when you go into a room, because there are writing sessions where you're like, somebody's sad, somebody has something that they really want to get off their chest, maybe we can write a song about this. But when Summer State of Mind comes up, do you go into the room going, guys, we need like a fun summer song that lets people just go, like what is this vibe?
I mean, honestly, I was down at the beach earlier this year, and I had sent a guitar idea to Sam Ellis and to Charles and Hillary too. And I was just like, I don't know, when I was at the beach playing guitar, literally just out on by the beach. And I sent it to Sam, and then we got to the room and he was like, man, what about with that guitar idea, something like Summer State of Mind? And we were like, oh my gosh, that'd be so fun. Charles, actually, his son got sick and he was unable to make it that day.
This song's gonna make so much money publishing, Charles. Sorry, buddy.
It's either I'm at the golf course and I just decided, because I write a ton, and of course, like there's been a couple other occasions where it's like the one time it's like, oh, I'm going to play golf. And in this case, my son was a little sick.
He was sick.
And I didn't come in. And I walked in.
He was a good dad. He was a good dad.
The very next day, and they said, check out this song that we just wrote. And I was like, you did it to me again.
But it's fun to write fun songs. I mean, we have like, you know, we're starting to kind of just put out music just one song at a time for a while because we feel like we're in a different, you know, people consume differently now. You know, the next song we're putting out is totally different feel wise. It's more like a kind of sad, introspective kind of Lady A kind of ballad thing. But I don't know. It's fun to write these fun songs. We're all out touring again and kind of doing the deal at festivals and fairs. And this song feels great in those rooms too.
Mm-hmm. When you had traveled back from the beach, like you were just saying, into a dreary, stormy Nashville day. So a lot of times I think when we're in the writing room, sometimes you want to even just escape from the weather of where you are. I mean, and that song just really emoted like the track that you and Sam built. It was like, oh, we're going to go somewhere warm today, whether it is here in Nashville
like
or not.
It's like when we've done our Christmas album in summer.
Yeah.
You're like, you have to make your...
Still have to bring in the
change
vibe.
Change headspace.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Go. On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Lady A.
I have a couple other things I want to talk to you guys about. Number one is, in the last segment, I think Hillary had mentioned that Charles, when he walks to an airport, gets recognized. Charles, do you don't go to airports. Not normal person airports at this point.
Heck yeah. Oh yeah.
We are
A-list on Southwest.
I mean, listen, I think the quickest way to go broke in our line of business is think it's going to last forever, and you never know how long the thing's going to last. And it's like, I want to take care and have something to leave my kids and stuff. And anytime you start to figure out how much you could spend on private planes, mm-hmm. it's just too much.
Another thing a minute ago, we're talking about the new song, Summer State of Mind, which, Ray, could you play me a clip of that again for our audience that's just turning in?
Oh, yes.
My final summer question, because then I got some stuff for Dave here, but Charles, I'm going to come to you one last time.
One last time.
I was at a charity auction, and I bid to go stay in like your beach house.
Oh, yeah.
And I lost by like $10. And I know. Sad. Then I was like, how weird would that have been if I wouldn't have told him? And then I was just texting him from the house, being like, bro, is this your play? I thought that would have been hilarious, but I didn't win. And then your wife kindly at one point reached out to me. I was like, hey, do you want to just stay in the house for free? And I was like, yeah. I could have done it for free. But at my point with those two stories, as big as celebrities as you guys are, I would like people to know that you're as normal and nice of folks as you can be. Still being big stars. And that's my point with that little intro there. Yeah. Is that it's odd that you guys can be so normal and nice and lovely individually as successful as you are.
Thank you.
That doesn't happen.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
My wife, we actually just hosted a St. Jude dinner in our house last night.
Didn't get that invite though.
Yeah, she's
funny I hear about it now.
But it's I think we learned early on too about just giving back and charity. We started, you know, all our heroes did that. And I don't know, it's amazing how it's just kind of as we've had with our families and kids, it's just something we're passionate about. But thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Hey, Dave, we have a group dynamic here with you three.
Yeah.
You guys have been together a long time. And I can tell you from experience myself, we've had a group dynamic where me, Amy, Lunchbox, we've been together a long time.
Yeah.
For you guys, what has been the key, and I would not like an answer like communication, because that's always what's the key to marriage? Communication. I'll get it. I know what that means.
Yeah.
What's been the key to staying together, even though sometimes you don't always want to stay together? And I mean that you love each other. We love each other, but it's not like we're not real humans and don't fight, and at times we have to because we're so close. What's the key to staying together over a long period of time?
I'm not going to use communication and get on that train. But I mean, honestly, I think we have such a respect for what the three of us have when we get in a room together. I mean, we're touring a lot right now, and we always talk about, we've been a band for 15, 16 years. We often play like the first song we wrote, and it just takes me back to that room. Like when we walked in, something was different and special there. I just feel like no one can take that away from us. When the three of us step into a room to create something, I know we can. That's just where we're great. That's what we do. That's what we love. We feel called to do that. So I think it's a respect and a remembrance of that, which gives us the fuel to kind of like power through the times when it's tough. Somebody's in a tough season. You know, some of the other ones kind of, we pull each other along. I mean, honestly, we literally have like seasons where one of us may be really struggling and the other two are kind of like there and supportive, and we're listening or present with each other and trying to lift each other up. So I don't know, but it all comes back to me, to just the respect of each other's talents, what they bring to the table, what we all have when the three of us kind of step into a room together.
Is there and with us, you know, I communicate with Eddie different than I do Amy. Amy, if I send Amy a one-line email and I'm like, hey, that was good, do this. And that's all I'm thinking, but she needs to be talked to with some extra sentences and shown a little extra attention. That's our communication style.
Yeah.
With Eddie, I can do the same thing, and we just talk to each other different, although we're different, close in different ways. Are there different communications that you guys have individually, and you know this is how I communicate with Hillary?
We have it down. I mean, we know it so well now.
Yeah. What?
I'm the fastest. I literally just say what I think immediately, always. And I do it in emails and have to come back and
same
like,
thing.
You know, and yeah. Like Hillary, she's somewhere in the middle, and Dave is really like sits back. I mean, and sometimes to where it's like he won't answer an email. I'm like, he doesn't like the idea.
That's how Amy is with me. She's like, you must hate it.
My mind starts racing and going, I knew it. I knew Dave wasn't. And then finally he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I was taking my kids T-ball. And you're like, you know. Yeah. And I'm like eight paces down the road thinking, you know.
Yeah. I feel like we've learned it so well. It does feel like a marriage. I mean, we know it like the back of our hands now. We've got it all figured out.
Has there been a time when you guys have, and I'm going to ask you two of these, and I'm going to have you play a few songs if you don't mind, but has there been a time where you've written a song together, two of you or three of you, and you go, that's fine. I mean, it was just okay. It was an okay song, but it ended up being a really massive song for you guys. Like you left the room and you're like, I don't think it was that good, but at least we did something.
You're never going to know.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's need the biggest one. It's Need You Now.
So you didn't feel special right after you wrote it?
I would say Run to You Too.
Nope.
Like we walked off, I was like, man, that's a really, really poetic song. But I was like, it's too heavy. It's not the hookiest thing I've ever heard in the world. I mean, those two songs, they're like two of our biggest.
Yeah.
So, that was not hooky?
I don't know. None of us walked out of that room, though, thinking we had written a hit song.
Yeah.
Well, and especially with Need You Now, it was just a very stripped, basic work tape. And it was the second song we wrote that day. And so I think, you know, we were just... It had been a bit of a long day.
Do you remember the first one we wrote?
I do.
Yeah, that was.
It was
not
called
good.
Like Young Love or something.
It was called Young Love.
And we were just. It was like so forced. You know, it was like trying to write a hit song with Need You Now. It was like it just came out.
It came out in like an hour and a half, and then we go into our label meeting, and thankfully Charles leaves no stone unturned when it comes to like we've written all these songs. It was the last song we played in the label meeting, and they said you've got to go in and try this, and we're like really. And the rest is history. I mean, and then that was the only song that when we brought the label in to play them, like the first six or seven off that record, when we cut them, that was the only one they asked for us to play over. And so we were like, oh, okay, maybe we're on, maybe we hit something.
Yeah.
Did that teach you that after you create, you're maybe not in the best place to actually evaluate what you created?
Yes. We always lean on our team. I mean, yeah. I think that's the biggest example. It says another thing too, why we say like, put your pride and your self-worth in the process, not the outcome. Because certain songs don't work that we thought were going to be big hits, and other ones do. And you're just like, you can't control that. And it's just enjoy the process of writing songs and put it out there. And
they all serve a purpose, like a real profound purpose. It either breaks you through to the next one that was really meant for that time, or it is the one. You know, it really.
You never know.
They all have a journey.
Well, I listed my top three Lady A songs of all time, and that's actually number three, Need You Now. Coming in at number three, they're going to play live here on the countdown. And you guys have a guitar, and you're so gracious to sing this early in the morning. Here is my number three favorite Lady A song. It is Need You Now.
Oh, I love that you're requesting, because that's the name of our tour, is Request Line. So we're getting requests from you.
Yeah.
Interesting.
See, yeah. All right. I love it.
I might have requested Machine Gun Kelly next, so be ready. All right, here we go.
Picture perfect memories scattered all around the floor. Reaching for the phone, 'cause I can't fight it anymore. And I wonder if I ever cross your mind. For me, it happens all the time. It's a quarter after one. I'm all alone and I need you now. Said I wouldn't call, but I've lost all control and I need you now. And I don't know how I can do without. I just need you now.
Come on.
At number three.
You guys have 11 number ones that I have here on the list, which is so many songs, and it's got to be difficult to put a set together at times because you want to get them all in. But I didn't look at the list when I was picking my favorite songs. And what I picked here at number two was not a number one, which again reminds me of it's not always about what's number one that ends up lasting in people's hearts and minds.
Yes. Right.
It's so true. I mean, Love Don't Live Here was number three.
Mm-hmm.
I Think You Look Good went to three. Like Dancing Away. We've had a few that are like two or three.
At number two, You Look Good from 2017.
You're on a boat on the beach in the water in the sand at the back of a bar. Cold beer in your head.
Breaking hearts, breaking necks, and me rolling down the street. Heads turning all day when they see you with me. I'm thinking everybody better stand in line, 'cause they need to know that your body's coming with me tonight. They're like, hey, who that there with the shades? Like, oh, will you move to the bass? Hold up. From the second that you walk in, you look good. You look good. So fresh, so fine. You look good.
Got everybody watching you like
cameras in Hollywood. You look good.
Come on. Yeah. All right, that's number two.
That's so good.
We're going to come back. That's right. It was so good. Yeah.
Oh, I just like how they. I mean, I don't know. I've seen them do it live in here before. Maybe they did a long
time
ago.
They performed like that song,
that particular song, because they wrote. It's interesting how they go in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, huh?
There's three of them.
And they're a group.
So good. Okay, whatever.
We're going to come back one more segment with Lady A, and I'm going to we're going to do the number one song, but what's funny is I'm going to sing it. Okay. They're going to watch.
Oh, really?
Wouldn't that be weird?
Yes.
If that was the bit.
On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Lady A.
We are celebrating this song, Summer State of Mind, from Lady A. So that song is out, and I want you guys to listen to it all summer long, and only that song. That's the only song that they can listen to as of today. So you guys are here, and we're going to do my number one song from you guys in a second. But I wonder, when you guys, you're all, I mean, such wonderful singers. Charles, how do you warm up before a show? What do you do specifically?
Well, Run to You specifically is one of those, it used to be Love Don't Live Here before, like, Run to You was a single, but I always know if I can go full voice into that falsetto, then my voice is in good shape. And then if it isn't, I have about a 30-minute panic attack, and I'm drinking hot tea, I'm doing the neti pot, and, you know.
So my falsetto, that's the high. So,
and then I do like,
Go to one and eat.
And I was like, love don't live here anymore. And then that's it. And I'll literally do
Bobby,
that.
Bobby, this is all day long. All day.
It's not even a
No, this is like, everyone on our team can attest. This is about 30 times a day. Yeah,
we probably all have it memorized.
I've been in a hotel room multiple times. I can hear through the pipes from another room.
Oh, yeah.
True story.
Yeah. I've got a lot of quirks. I mean, over the years too, they develop in this kind of thing where it's like these little routines kind of just happen. I mean,
cough drops,
hot teas,
warm ups,
push ups to get your voice kind of, which is weird, that push ups, but get your blood flowing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just.
But at this point in your career, you know what works for you.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's working.
And I can tell too, like right when like I'm about to have like a sinus infection or something, I'll go in and get like one of those little steroid shots, you know.
If you have a show and the show doesn't go as well as you had hoped, which one of you is the most upset?
You could pretty much guess.
Is it you? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And what if you have a great – are you able to celebrate a great show, too?
Oh, gosh, yes.
So you are the emotion – you're up and down the most.
Listen, this is the guy. This is the guy they chose.
And who is the most even keeled, though? Who's the one who's like, all right, guys, Dave, it's you?
I can be even keel, but – I get upset when there's technical things that happen in the show and something goes wrong. I mean, that upsets me. But I can still be like, you know, see the bright side and everything. Like, I'm so grateful to be here.
But are you never too high, never too low, because it'll affect a performance? I mean, are you that linear thinking where, okay, I'm going to focus and make sure we get the best out of us and not get so emotional it affects us either way?
I try to let go of that. A lot of these shows, like we're doing this request line tour in the fall, we're just going to take requests and it's going to be different every night. And who cares what happens? I mean, when we just like what we're doing today, just play songs, tell stories.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what I love. And that's what we're actually getting to do. I'm not trying to segue, but that's what we're doing this fall.
Well, I had no idea that, because I saw Request Line was the name of the tour. I had no idea you were actually doing that.
Yeah.
And that I was doing this. I don't know if you guys thought that was on purpose.
No.
I literally was like, you know, I've spent so much time with these guys. Like, what can I do? And then I was like, well, I'll just be selfish and have them play my favorites.
Yeah.
So that's what is happening on the tour.
Yeah. And that's what we're going to do on the tour. I mean, we have a hotline. People can call and leave a voicemail. We're going to build the set list around the requests. But then also, like, we've done a couple shows already where we just open it up to the audience. I mean, you don't get a chance to do that in a big amphitheater arena. I mean, but just to literally say, does anybody have any requests? People are yelling things out. You pick somebody out, maybe bring them up and just do a song and
you
talk
just
about
bring
it.
Somebody from the audience to sing a song?
Just
potentially.
Potentially that. Or
That's so
cool. Oh, you know what? Let me tell you a story real quick before I get to my number one.
Okay, good.
I went to a Green Day concert once. And so they're who knows our songs? And everybody's like, I know the songs. I'm there. And I love Green Day. I grew up on early Green Day. Still like Green Day. And so they're like, all right, we're going to play. I'm having trouble. Do you have the time to live? Brains 2.
Yeah. Brains 2 is.
About a thing.
Is that? No. What is it? Keep going.
That's Basket Case.
Basket Case, yeah. They're like, who knows Basket Case? And everybody's like, I know it, I know it.
Yeah.
And so he's like, you know, you got to play the guitar. He's like, yeah. And so the guy takes the bass and goes, dum, dum, dum. He's playing the bass guitar. He takes the guy's bass. Boom. He's like, wow. And the crowd's going, yeah, bass guitar. He knows the song.
Yeah.
Cool. And the next guy comes up. He's like, who knows how to play it on drums? And the crowd, some guy's like, I know. You know how to play it? Cool. Guy on the bass. Boom, 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 boom. They've got it. They got two down. And the crowd's like, this is amazing. We're watching people come out of the crowd at a Green Day show, and they're going to play Basket Case. Boom, 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 boom. The crowd, it's awesome. And I'm into it, and I paid to watch Green Day, but this is going to be a cool moment.
Yeah.
And so Billy Joe, the lead singer, was like, all right, all right. And the guy's on the bass, he's just keeping the bass line going up the song. And don't forget, boom, boom, the drums are going, boom, boom, boom. And like, all right, who wants to play lead and sing? And some guy's like, I do. And the crowd's like, oh, and the guy looks like Billy Joe Armstrong.
Oh, gosh.
And so I'm like, is this a setup?
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't be, that's cool, whatever, it's entertaining me, I don't care. And I'm like, why? So it wasn't. So the guy gets up and the guy's freaking out, and you can tell he's so pumped to be on stage with Green Day. And Billy Joe's like, you know how to play? He goes, yeah. And so again, the bass, drums, they got it. They don't really stop. They're playing the whole time. And so the guy takes the guitar and he gets on the mic. Goes, you guys ready? And the guys are still playing, doing it. And he goes, hung, has no idea how to play it. It's awful. It is awesome. It's the great. And then he took the guitar from him and he said, get off stage. And then he played that part and it was amazing. So don't do that bit.
Don't do that.
Yeah,
don't
it didn't. So that's
don't do that.
So, but that would be cool if you brought people up.
Yeah.
You never know. I mean, you gotta, especially too, like with taking requests in the audience. I mean, you can only do that maybe a couple times because it's, you know, you get like,
and then they won't stop yelling.
That kind of gets disruptive, and of course everybody has to, somebody's got to say Free Bird. It's just, it just happens every time.
Yeah. Well, to my number one song, Free Bird.
There you go.
All right, here is this is my favorite Lady A song. It is from 2010. It is American Honey.
She grew up on the side of the road where the church bells ring and strong love grows. She grew up good, she grew up slow, like American honey.
Let's go into the chorus.
There's a wild, wild whisper blowing in the wind, calling out name like a long lost friend. Oh, I miss those days as the years go by. Oh, nothing sweeter. Summertime and American honey.
That's awesome. Lady A in studio. The Request Line Tour with just a lovely guy, Dave Barnes, opening up, who's so good and funny. And so the tour is going to be awesome. And today we are here celebrating the new song. Are you guys doing a video for Summer State of Mind?
We have.
Oh, you've already done
it.
Mm-hmm. It's not out, is it?
No, it comes out Friday.
Yep. Oh, thank goodness. Because if it had been out, I'd be like, you're doing a video? And awkward for everybody. Okay, so tomorrow it's going to be out, Summer State of Mind, the video. This song is out now, Summer State of Mind. And listen, I'll say it again, and you know, I don't ever want it to get lost that you guys are just really cool. Like I like you as people. You're also very talented as a group, but you're just cool folks, and I can appreciate that. And I would never ask you guys just to come in and perform because it's early, but they were like, do you want to perform? And I was like, I don't know if they want to perform. They're big stars. And they're like, no, they'll perform. One time I said no, and Charles was like, you don't want us to perform? And I remember that, and I was like, I'm never going to offend Charles again. So
it's a great opportunity, though, to like show people what we, you know, what we love to do. So
thank you. Yeah. Everyone, if they come to your town, you should go watch this. There's a number. You can go to their website and see the number to call and leave them a voicemail and go watch the Request Line Tour. Stream the song. And can't wait. Whenever you guys get the full body, you do a whole record. Yeah. If you're going to do that, great. If not, whatever. You got a key to the place, so come by anytime.
Thank you.
All right. There they are. Lady A, everybody. So bye, guys. Thank you.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for the good news.
With producer Eddie.
Tell me something good.
14-year-old Tyce Pender is from South Carolina, and he loves his stepdad. He's actually had a stepdad since he was 2 years old, but he hates the word step in front of the dad, so he really wants to get adopted. So he said, guys, I'm going to start mowing lawns to help make money for this adoption fees. There's so many court fees.
Wow.
Thousands of dollars. So he's already made about $300, and the family's like, I love it. The stepdad's like, I'm going to pay for most of it, but the fact that he's taking the initiative to do this is going to be awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, yeah. And the stepdad has to also feel extremely touched that he's wanted as the dad.
He wants it that bad that
he's
going to
work,
work for it.
Yeah.
Love it.
That's pretty cool. That's a good one. That's what it's all about right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
90 seconds on the clock. It's time for the Morning Corny, but we get to figure it out. It's the investigative Morning Corny. Amy, are you ready?
The Morning Corny.
What do you call a dad when he falls through ice?
Pops.
Pops. Popsicle.
Popsicle?
Right?
Frozen pop.
Frozen pop. Ice pop.
Ice pop.
Go with ice pop. Come on, we got to do it quick.
If we're wrong, though.
We're not wrong.
We don't get to... move on to the next one. Like we lose and it's it. Popsicle or ice pop? Both are good.
I like ice pop.
Popsicle. I think it's probably popsicle because ice pop I don't think is universally.
What is an ice pop?
We don't know.
Popsicle. Yeah, popsicle. Okay. Let's go popsicle.
Okay, come on.
Let's go popsicle. All right, go. Amy, popsicle.
Yeah, so what do you call a dad when he falls through the ice?
Popsicle. We're on the time.
Yeah, popsicle.
Yeah, let's go. Give us another one.
Gosh, okay. Gosh, what does a house wear?
What does a house wear? Apron.
House wears
a house.
Roof.
Home.
Home.
Eve.
Homebody.
Shingle.
Home. Home.
Shingle.
Home.
House wears a.
Home. Homer.
A spoon. What's a house wear?
Pants.
Color.
What does a house wear?
Dress.
Siding.
Address. Address.
Address. Address. Address. Go, Bo.
Address.
Address.
Amy, address. What's a house wear?
Address.
Let's go. Let's go.
Give us one more.
What concert costs 45 cents?
50 cents.
With Nickelback.
Go,
50 cents with Nickelback.
Yeah. Go.
That's easy. I've heard that one before.
Okay,
boom, three.
Okay.
Let's
why do crabs never give to charity?
Claws.
They're pinchy. They're
penny pinchers.
Penny pinchers.
That's four.
Penny pinchers.
That's not it.
Oh.
What?
Pinch pennies.
But no.
Pinch pennies. What?
No. Because they're shellfish.
Okay. We got three.
Let's
walk through them real quick because we ran through. Amy, go ahead. Number one was?
What do you call a dad when he falls through the ice?
Popsicle. You call him a?
Popsicle.
Good. Next one.
What does a house wear? Address.
Good one.
Yeah. And? What concert costs 45 cents?
I just knew this one, 50 Cent with Nickelback.
Yeah, technically 50 Cent featuring Nickelback.
Not technically. Okay. It could be, that doesn't make the joke.
I like featuring.
Okay, go ahead.
Why do crabs never give to charity?
Because?
They're shellfish.
That's good.
Shellfish.
I didn't realize crabs were fish.
They're shellfish. It's a play on selfish.
Shellfish.
I thought a shellfish is like a clam and an oyster.
And a crab.
They have a shell.
Okay. They literally have a shell.
Okay.
Shell. Okay. All right. Thank you. That's what's up. We're about to get to number two in a second. So let's do it. 90s music videos. Artist had to be awesome. Song had to be awesome. Video had to be awesome. At number five was Chattahoochee by Alan Jackson. It's 1992. Number four is Boo Scootin' Boogie by Brooks and Dunn. That's 1991. At number three, Prop Me Up Beside the Jukebox. Joe Diffie. Beside the jukebox if I die. At number two, the year was 1999. It just made the cut. So, 1999 facts. Well, Y2K. Everyone thought the world was ending because when all the computers hit 000, boom, apparently we just exploded. Some people still think it did end and we're in a simulation since then.
Do you believe that?
You know, here's the thing I believe. I believe in life after love.
Okay, Cher. Thank you.
You also believe in life after love. That's what I believe in. Y2K, not so much. Yeah. So that happened. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire premiered. Massive. That happened. Everybody watched that show.
Amazing
for a while.
Show.
Yeah.
I mean, is that your final answer?
Rageous.
Yeah. That show was awesome at the time. DVD players were starting to phase out VHS tapes. So the DVD was the deal. And there was a whole time where it was, all right, is it DVD or Blu-ray? Mm. And you buy one or the other, and Blu-ray has gone the way of the dodo bird.
Yep.
Nobody Blu-rays it. DVD wins. Although even then, since then, it's been killed too. So we were downloading songs on Napster for free.
Oh, those were the days.
Miss those days, yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Lots of music.
I just click the letter L and be like, all right, I'm going to go to sleep. And download every song that started with the letter L. And I'd wake up and have a whole new music library.
That was crazy.
It was awesome. And we were like, we hate these bands for making us want to pay for their music. Free music rules. Metallica sucks. And obviously, we were wrong.
Yeah.
So wrong.
In 1999, the Pokemon franchise was exploding all over the United States with the release of the Pokemon Red and Blue video game the year before. 1999, Pokemon has taken over. Never gotten to Pokemon. Mike D did and still has all these cards that are worth a lot of money, huh? What do you think they're all worth right now? Just round it. Go.
A few thousand, 3,000.
3,000. I'll give you 1,500 for 40%.
Here we go.
Nah, I keep them.
Okay. The song at number two from 1999. It debuted March 3rd, 1999 on CMT. The song's music video was shot in New York City, and it parodies the song, You Might As Well Face It, You're Addicted to Love. Dun, dun, dun. So it parodies it in music video, not in sound. But you remember the, You Might As Well Face It, You're Addicted to Love. That music video.
Robert Palmer.
Robert Palmer's right. Do you remember it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember the video?
Yeah.
No.
What is it?
Is that the one where they're in the black dresses and
the girls dancing,
and the slicked back hair, and the red lipstick?
That is exactly what it is. The role reversal shows Shania Twain surrounded by sexy male musicians.
Yeah.
At number two, Shania Twain. The song won the best Grammy, won the Grammy Award for Best Female Country Vocal Performance. She performed at the Super Bowl halftime show. Number two, Man, I Feel Like a Woman. Nice job, Amy. So who do you think is the most famous person alive? Now, think about your answer before you just yell it out, because I don't want you just yelling out, well, I think it could be this one. Oh. You get one answer here.
One answer.
So they've talked to over 500,000 people from all over the Western world, meaning in India, they have a whole different list of celebrities. Because it's so massive. And China. So you're talking about America, the UK, people we would consider famous. Yeah. Okay. So who would you consider the most famous person alive? And then at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have 7 people on the list. So write your answer down because you guys can have the same answer.
I got it.
That's easy.
Does it include
celebrity?
So you get three. Write down your top three.
Alive.
Right? Yeah. All alive.
But
yeah.
Are politicians celebs?
It doesn't matter. Famous is famous.
Okay.
Write down your three, and the person whose three gets the most points is the winner of this game. All right. Three most famous people alive.
I mean, I don't know.
And the higher you are up on the list, more points you get.
Okay.
Alive.
People were asked, who do you consider the most famous person alive?
Good.
My list is so weird.
Let me know when you have your three.
I have my three.
Okay. I'm in.
All right. Who do you have for your most famous person, Amy?
The Queen.
Queen
Elizabeth.
Okay. Anybody else have Queen Elizabeth?
No. Chance.
No, I don't think anybody cares about her.
But everybody knows her. She's famous. She's been alive the longest.
That's true.
I had to think about Elizabeth. I didn't know that was her name.
When you said Queen, I was like, Queen.
Just the Queen.
I was like, Queen Latifah?
Queen
Elizabeth.
Okay, so you have Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Who else do you have?
Taylor Swift.
Anybody have Taylor Swift?
Nope. No.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
No. All right.
And?
Dang it. Toss up. Tom Hanks.
So you have Queen Elizabeth, Taylor Swift, and Tom Hanks. Let me do your points here without telling you where they are on the list. So,
I just picked those quickly.
Amy with a total of
0.
14 points.
Oh.
Take that, sucker.
Okay, so you get 10 if you get the number one.
Huh?
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. Okay. Lunchbox, who is your most famous person?
Ronaldo.
The soccer player.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, he didn't even pop in my head.
Go ahead.
Lionel Messi.
Okay.
Who?
They're all
another soccer
players?
Player. Yep. Yeah. Go ahead.
And Kim K.
Yeah.
Okay. Lunchbox, a total point of. To carry the one. 10.
Yeah!
So far, Amy's in the lead.
What?
Yeah.
Ronaldo is the most famous athlete
just
in the
world. Because you know them? Amy doesn't even know who Ronaldo is. She couldn't pick him out in a room.
Yeah, she could.
I could.
Okay. Absolutely.
He did not make the list.
I know exactly what he looks like.
Eddie.
Bones, I don't have any of those people. My list is fresh.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Number one, Donald Trump.
Okay.
Yeah, I had him, but it's
number two, Dolly Parton.
That's terrible.
Okay, that's
Everyone knows Dolly Parton.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And number three, the GOAT of basketball, Michael Jordan.
Okay.
All right, let me add Eddie's up
That's
here.
Actually pretty good.
Thank you.
One, two,
Ronaldo. Three,
six, seven, I almost put Tiger Woods.
Eddie, you have a total
Come
number
on.
Of...
Hit me.
Three, four, 0 points.
Really?
Yeah, you loser.
Not a good grasp of what's really happening.
You
really
All right.
loser.
The most famous person in the world, according to this, is Kim Kardashian.
Boom! That's number one. I nailed
that's
it.
That's number one. That's the only one Lunchbox got, by the way.
Good job.
So Kim Kardashian was worth 10 points. She's number one. Number two, nobody got. It was Beyonce. And number three, Queen Elizabeth.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I can't believe it.
And number four, you didn't win a Grammy.
Award. What are you doing?
I'm so honored.
I want to thank my family.
They hated on me so hard.
You
for
love
that
me.
One.
You really love me.
It's amazing.
Barack Obama's at 4.
Oh, okay. Donald Trump.
Taylor Swift is at 5.
Yeah.
Oprah is at 6.
Dang it.
Woo!
Oprah who?
And Winfrey.
Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, okay, I remember
Oprah
her.
She's
who?
So well known,
Stop.
She needs one name.
And then finally, the last one here that was Ariana Grande. Internationally.
What
really?
There you go. Amy, you know famous people more than these two knuckleheads.
I know the most famous, though.
God?
Eat that.
No.
Okay.
Kim K.
Okay. Sorry.
You, Amy, you won the game.
Thank you.
So don't let him. And there's our winner, Amy. Nice job. Nice job.
Where's my crown?
No crown for this one. Oh. No. Sorry about that.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's time for your big stories.
Bobby's Big Stories.
A miserable neighbor, dubbed a Karen, seemed to purposefully ruin a wedding across the street because she mowed the yard the whole time.
No.
Oh, no.
Stop.
That's dirty, rude, huh? The lawn mowing session was so noisy that you could hear them in the video of the couple's vows. Dang. The clip, which has a bunch of views on TikTok, has sparked outrage. Yeah, I'm mad at that.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
You gotta mow while they're
And no one went to go tell him, hey, will you stop mowing? We're doing a wedding over there.
Maybe, but I don't. She doesn't have to.
Oh my God!
Her yard. I'm sure she wouldn't just by someone going, "Hey, would you please stop?" Because she's doing it for a reason.
Huh?
That's from the New York Post. I don't like her. I guess I wish I knew more of the story. And there's a picture of her weed eating too, real close.
No. Yeah.
Dialed in,
doing the edges.
Jeremy and Sarah Henson were on vacation in Las Vegas when their Ring camera notified them there was someone at their front door. The camera showed their dog Dexter was at the door. Now again, they're on vacation in Las Vegas. They left Dexter at a puppy hotel 2 miles away where he climbed a 6-foot fence and just went home.
Amazing.
That's crazy.
They saw him at the door. Just went home. And he's trying to get back in. So you probably have to call a neighbor. Hopefully it's not the one mowing during your wedding to go let him in. That's from the New York Post. That is funny. An 83-year-old doctor has a newborn son with his 35-year-old wife.
Baller.
So it's not even about the doctor. He's 83 and he had a kid with a 35-year-old.
Yeah.
83 is like old. Like, if it's a 35 and he's like 61, like 61 is still young enough to like, it's older, but it's still young enough to like chill and do stuff.
You could probably see him go to college.
You're wearing diapers.
I'm not
83?
Talking about the kids. I'm talking about the marriage.
Oh,
61.
I'm
thinking about the kids. Like there are famous people 61 that are married, and you're like, all right, they're older, but it's fine. 83 is like an old man. Yeah. Like I worry about him driving.
Yeah.
I don't worry about a 61-year-old driving, but an 83-year-old has a son with 35-year-old wife. A doctor who's the father of a baby boy says each day knowing that he won't get to see his son grow up makes him sad.
Well, yeah, duh. You didn't think about that?
How about the final few happy days you get because of your son?
That's more positive.
He's like, I only got 11 days left. I'm very happy. This nutrition expert, which is the doctor says, listen, I'm going to give him as many memories as possible. She became pregnant after fertility treatments. I mean, you look at them, it looks like her and her grandpa. It doesn't.
It does.
So she, yeah.
It looks like grandpa got in the picture at the hospital. Like, grandpa, come get a picture with the baby. So that's a situation.
I mean, part of me was wondering, is it an accident or they planned it?
No, it's fertility treatments.
Yeah, I hear that now.
He already had 2 sons that were adults, 3 granddaughters, and now he has a...
3 granddaughters?
Granddaughter that's older than the son. So they're the granddaughters... Let me think about this.
I know.
So if there's a granddaughter... But they have their grandpa's son, that's uncle. They're older than their uncle?
Oh, my gosh.
Way older than their uncle. Dang. There's golfers on the golf course from ABC 13 in Cypress, Texas. They're playing. You know, you play golf. You like for people to be quiet while you swing, and all of a sudden, cops were chasing a guy. Dude dropped an AK-45 running through the golf course.
Whoa.
Oh.
You imagine?
Foot pursuit. Dropped an AK-45 right through the golf course, and they bogeyed the holes. Now, I don't know about the holes.
And that was their score.
It was like Grand Theft Auto, cars and stuff. There's foot, cars, everything, right through the golf course. That would have been awesome to see, as long as nobody got hurt. You just see that, like the SUV driving through the golf course.
Right before
and
you
then
hit?
Stop and it runs. Yeah, and then he gets out and runs. It's crazy. It's like a Range Rover flying through the holes. But you didn't drive on the greens, because that's bad for
him. You did not do that.
You wouldn't do it.
Or the tee boxes.
Yeah, yeah. Finally, a man is reunited with his phone 10 months after losing it in a river. 10 months.
What?
Wow.
It was still working?
No, I don't care how many phones I've had that have said to be waterproof. If I like spill on them, they don't work the same.
Exactly.
This guy was in a river. So he lost his phone canoeing and it turned up and it was 10 months later. They put in an air compressor and next day they charged it. Ooh, worked. Unbelievable.
Wow.
Worked. Plug the charger in. It worked. That's a lot of rice. You got to go get the whole Rice-A-Roni company, put the phone in that thing to get it to work. That's from BBC.
Those were Bobby's Big Stories.
Bobby Bone Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from West Virginia. We all know the game cornhole where you got the two boards, you got the bean bags, you throw it in the hole.
Yeah.
Well, one guy lost and he was like, man, I don't think your bean bags are regulation size. And they get in an argument and he leaves, comes back with a chainsaw and slashes the guy's tires.
Oh.
Oh. That's aggressive.
Why go for the tires? Like, really make a statement and go for the boards.
Yeah, that's,
like, no one can ever
that's what I was thinking.
Again. I'll show you regulations.
Yeah.
How about those big holes?
Yeah, that's funny. So, what happens?
So, he got arrested. Yeah, and they do not know if alcohol was involved.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. It was.
Probably so.
Yeah, it was.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
All right, heck of a show today. You guys can follow me on Instagram, Mr. Bobby Bones. Would love to hear from you. So, that being said, tomorrow, big show, Luke Combs, Jimmy Allen, the Friday morning dance party. Hope you guys have an awesome day. We'll see you Friday. That's tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
Bobby Bones.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.